This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Our guest is Commander Jennifer Brooks. She is a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. She spent 20 years in serving this country, including deployment during Desert Storm on the USS Mars. Commander Brooks, welcome. So glad you could join us.
It's a pleasure to join you.
I appreciate you spending some time with us, and I know we have a lot to get to and a limited amount of time to do it, but if you could just, we'll just cut right to the chase, and if you could tell us, it's my understanding that for a young woman at the U.S. Naval Academy in the late 70s and 1980, early 80s, you graduated in 82, that Jim Webb was the symbol, really, had become a symbol by his being so outspoken against women being at the Naval Academy, that he had become the symbol of everything you were trying to get past so that you could serve your country.
Yes. First of all, I'm retired. I was 19 years old in 1979 when his article came out, Women Can't Fight. And it wasn't just that he was the symbol, he made himself the symbol.
And tell us a little bit about, now you had come from a Navy family. Tell us, because I'm just clueless, were you among the first class of women at the Naval Academy?
I was the third. There were two year groups ahead of us. And you know how it is hard whenever you have a new group integrating with another. And so there were bumps in the road and it wasn't easy. But when the Webb article came out, he basically legitimized bad treatment towards us. People saw this best-selling author who was a war hero saying they don't belong here and basically slinging mud at us, so they picked up mud and continued on with it.
Now, of course, he wasn't the only one saying this at the time, but the fact that he was so well-known as an author and literally a war hero, a lot of people in the service, especially at the Naval Academy, who naturally looked up to him. Tell folks who don't know, when you say the Webb article, where was it, when was it, and what was it?
It was 1979, and he published a very long article in the Washingtonian that was entitled Women Can't Fight. But the difference between this and other arguments, because of course this was a raging argument of the day, is it was a very emotional article, and not all of the facts were right. And he said things like, quote, the Academy was a, quote, horny woman's dream. And of course the Washingtonian blew that text up. So this was not your average let's have an adult argument about women in the military.
Commander Brooks is our guest, a 1982 graduate of the Naval Academy, has served this country for over 20 years, is now retired. Commander Brooks, can you be as specific and as candid as possible when you talk about your experience at the Naval Academy and the effect that this article had on your experience? I know you can't speak for anybody else, but on your experience, in the hallways, in the classroom, on the grounds?
Okay, well, first of all, it's never supposed to be a pleasant experience. It's hard on everybody. And so nobody who's coming forward is complaining that the Academy was hard. But I'll give you an example. By referring to us as if we were there to get sex or get husbands, what happened was some of the sexual harassment intensified. It was measurable. It went from one level to exponentially increased. So, for example, my name is Brooks. It has two O's in it. People would draw nipples in it. Every grade list, every PE list, everything that was hanging on the wall that had my name on it became two pair of breasts. And they were allowed to stay there, and I wasn't allowed to take it down. You know, things like, there were signs, you know, that said, WUBA, go home. And WUBA was an acronym that's very crude, referring to the women, and these signs would appear all over the place. And, you know, there were things said and done to us that I can't repeat on the air. So when we saw it, we had one level of harassment. We had an article that came out and people quoting it, and then this huge leap in harassment. You know, there's a connection there.
So, and you do believe in your heart that there was an absolute connection between, that things got worse when that article came out?
Well, yes, but it wasn't even just me being intuitive. Men walked around, the young men, with James Webb fan club t-shirts. It was all in the newspaper articles, and so the underclassmen were told to memorize the articles and then recite them at the dining hall. And there were people that would quote the articles back to us in class. So, I mean, his name was linked to all of this.
And you have come forward now because your concerns are what?
Well, basically, my concern is that he's running for Senate. It's not like I have this huge grudge against him or I'm sitting here crying, suing him for emotional damages. I was just driving home from church one day and saw this sign that Jim Webb's running for my senator. And I said, whoa, I've got a voice. And I maybe have something that people should consider before voting for him.
And you are not alone. It's my understanding that there's a number of women who attended the Naval Academy at this time when the article was published, who still believe Jim Webb is a symbol that they're not comfortable with and that they don't want to see as their senator.
Absolutely.
And so it's your hope. I guess you're hoping that Alan wins, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well,
but
this is hard because I'm a moderate. So I mean, I have to face my Democrat friends that are saying, "Gee, thanks, Jennifer," but I felt that I should be a data point. Just tell the truth, just tell what happened to me. And then when people go to vote, they consider it when they're considering all the other things.
Now, by the time you graduated in 1982, what was the climate at the academy?
It was still bad. It was it still hadn't let up.
And I guess the obvious question is, you know, this was 30 years ago. Since that time, Jim Webb has said, look, you know, I've made amends and I don't feel that way anymore. And what's your take on all that? Because he certainly said that many times during his campaign.
He hasn't made amends. If anyone was listening to Meet the Press a couple weeks ago, he totally danced around the issue. And I am not even demanding that he think women can fight, but it's just the way he did it and the slurs that he used were bad. And so I'm wondering, is this the same guy? Because what happened, he may have been the chief, you know, the CNO of the Navy. And what happens is that during his time, there were billets that were open for women. And he took credit for it. But I was in the community. These were things that were in motion years before he got there. We were pounding our fists against the plexiglass ceiling, and finally it broke through. And he happened to be in charge at the time and said, oh, yep, I did that. But those of us who were there that, you know, were saying, no, you didn't.
Yeah, what's your take as a Virginian now? Now step back, not as a graduate of the Naval Academy or not as one of the women who have decided to go public, and I'm guessing there's more who have decided not to go public who might feel this way. What's your take as a Virginian on this Senate race in broad strokes from a wide angle view? Because we were talking in the last half hour in this program how, you know, on The Daily Show, they're making fun how it's the sexist versus the racist. And the whole country is sort of looking at this race here in Virginia and almost, they're literally making fun of our politics. And I was just wondering, as a Virginian, as a longtime Virginian, just your take on this race.
My take is that no one should vote based on just one issue, and that I think we should shine a spotlight on anybody who's running for an office as important as the Senate. And there may be all sorts of stuff that comes out, and you take it as the whole, and you take every bit of it, and you make your own decision, and then you go vote. That's my take on this.
Yeah, well, I think that's beautifully put. Our guest is Commander Jennifer Brooks. She graduated in 1982 from the U.S. Naval Academy. She served this country for over 20 years, including in Operation Desert Storm. Well, let's go to the phone lines, and Howard is on the phone. Howard, thank you for the call. You're on with Commander Brooks.
Thank you very much. I do have a question for you. Coy, I thought I heard you say yesterday that to make arrangements to get Commander Brooks on the air, you had to go through the Allen campaign. Is that correct?
I did not book this interview with Jennifer Brooks. I booked this interview with a member of the Allen campaign. That's correct.
So then my question for Commander Brooks is then, if this is a matter of conscience, why are you so closely aligned with the Allen campaign? and I'll just hang up and let her answer. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Howard. Could you hear him?
Sure. Okay. I'm sorry. He was a little faint.
Yeah.
Howard, basically, no one's going to listen to just Jennifer Brooks. And what happened was when we saw the web campaign signs go up, Kathleen Murray, one of the women involved, called the Allen campaign. And so, yes, it's not that we are closely aligned, and I haven't even promised to vote for the guy. But, yes, it does help us get a voice because we were powerless people. We didn't have any pull. No one cared about us.
And you wanted to be heard.
And, yes, yeah. I wanted to be heard. So there was a cause, there was an effect, and we took it.
Yeah, and a very mobilized media campaign for this particular candidate, George Allen, wanted you to be heard, obviously. And so they could make it easy to get y'all out there.
Yes.
And but you're seeing it not so much as, I really want to help George Allen, but this was an absolutely unforgettable part of my life. And people need to know that this happened to me, whether or not they decide to figure that in the metrics they're going to use when they cast their vote. You don't care. You
yes.
just feel like you need to express this.
Absolutely.
And what's been the take? And again, I don't want you to speak for anybody, but what's been the take of some of these other women that you have spoken with and who were at the academy with you at the time?
Well, you know, we range the gamut. There are not a whole lot of us, and not a whole lot of us in Virginia at this time. But, for example, when we did the press conference, we ranged from a Democrat to moderate to Republican. So there's some women that don't want to relive the experience over again because it was so difficult. There are others who are diehard Democrats that are kind of holding their nose and saying, I'm still not going to leave my party over this. So we're a cordial but pretty divided group ourselves.
Commander Jennifer Brooks, a 1982 graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. She lives in Northern Virginia and is currently pursuing a doctorate in psychology at Howard University, and she served our country for over 20 years in the U.S. Navy. Commander, I want to thank you for your time, and we, all of us here in Central Virginia, appreciate you joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Absolutely. Take care. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com. Let's take a quick break.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.